says in Luke chapter 3 and verse 21, when the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." You guys, that's the voice you need to hear this morning. Because that's the voice. I mean, there's a proud dad sitting over there, but I tell you, he's not half as proud as your Father in heaven. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what he's saying. He's saying, "You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased." Every time we, I mean, there's something, I mean, you love your kids even if they're rebellious, don't you? Come on, doesn't matter how stuck, come on, and how stubborn they are, or how rebellious they are, or how belligerent they are, or how much their attitude stinks, you still love them, but there's something just comes out of your heart when they do something out of obedience, isn't there? There's just a special manifestation of the same love, but it's just something happens, and when our Heavenly Father is the same, He loves us regardless of where we're at. God so loved the world. Jesus demonstrated the love that the Father has for us even when we were still sinners. That's what the Word of God says. Amen. But I tell you, when we begin to take these baby steps of obedience, something just, oh man, he just explodes. Amen. I mean, when the heavens opened, he thought, "I can't be silent." The heavens opened and a voice from heaven boomed out and said, "This is my beloved Son. You are my beloved Son, and you I am." Well, and it's as personal as that this morning. This is not religion, this isn't ritual. It's as personal as that. You need to understand that's the voice of the Father. And over all of you here this morning, glory to God, but especially you guys this morning, you need to hear this today. Hallelujah. The Father is speaking from heaven. He's saying, "You are my beloved Son, and in you I am well pleased." You know, there's many voices that want access into our lives to influence us, to control us, to manipulate us. The media, I mean, there's so many different manifestations of the media these days that voices are just attacking us continually from every direction. But not only that, there's spiritual voices out there. There's voices from the past. There's things that we heard when we were growing up, things that we heard when we were children, maybe in school, maybe we were bullied a little bit, maybe the teachers weren't very nice and didn't speak very positive things over our lives, maybe our own parents spoke negative things in our lives. And all of these voices are still out there because all of these words that were spoken, they just keep traveling around, and they keep coming back to you and coming back to you, and they keep trying to get access back into your life, and you mustn't allow that to happen. See, we were designed, God designed us to live by faith. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that God speaks." Man, all of these other words, they're designed to produce death in you, to shut you down and to close you off from God's plan for your life. But Jesus said you can live one way, and that's by hearing what He says, hearing what the Father says. We live by faith, and faith comes by hearing what God says, the Word of God, the voice of truth. Say, "The voice of truth." Voice of truth. Say, "I'm listening to the voice of truth." Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the enemy knows that we were designed to live by faith. He knows that, and that's why he surrounds us with these other voices that speak lies over us. Jesus said concerning the devil that he's actually the father of lies. Amen. But thank God he's not our father. Who's our father? The father of truth. The father of truth. Remember, Jesus went straight from his. When he was baptized, I'm trying to avoid the baptism word, you understand? Hallelujah. When he was baptized, because baptism, you won't find it in the Word of God, but you will find "be baptized," because the Greek word baptizo, actually, I don't know why they tried to translate it into English. If they were going to translate it into English, they would have had to use several words, because it really means to immerse. And it was used as a word for when they were dyeing cloth. Who knows you don't dye cloth by sprinkling it? Well, it would take you a long time, and it would be pretty patchy. And that's why some people's understanding of things is a bit patchy. But you see, when you take that cloth and you immerse it in the dye, and it comes out fully covered, fully recolored. It's a brand new color when it comes out of the dye. Amen. Mm-hmm. So the Greek word means that it can't be really fussed with, argued with, debated over. That's just what it means. So it would have been far better if they just used a few English words and said, after you've been dunked or something, you know what I mean? So we'd understand, you know what I mean, what it's all about after you. And it says, when Jesus came up out of the water, amen. So it's all very clear, but we're not here to debate all these things, glory to God. But Jesus went straight from hearing these words of affirmation, these awesome words that broke through the clouds from the heavens, and he went straight from hearing these words into a confrontation with the enemy, with the father of lies. And immediately he began to apply pressure upon Jesus to try and displace these words with doubt and with unbelief. If you are. And all of these different voices were coming to him and trying to pull him away from what he had just heard spoken over his life. You are my... And that's what happened. I mean, I'll tell you... I'm not a doom and gloom preacher, you understand, but I'll tell you, over the next few days, the voices will come. Sometimes they'll even come through friends. Sometimes they'll even come through associates, and they'll say, oh, what's all that about, blah, 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 blah. And they'll try and take you away and try and diminish and belittle the experience and that place of obedience that you have just achieved in your life and the words that the Father speaks over you because of that. I want to tell you, God is breaking the heavens open this morning, and he's speaking into your life, and he's saying, you are, not you will be, not you were, not you might be if you pull up your socks properly, glory to God, and tie your laces in the morning, and maybe to comb your hair. No, he's not saying that. He said, you are, and you always will be. When God says you are, it's an ongoing statement. He doesn't change his mind about it. What God says is what God says. Amen. He doesn't love you today and hate you tomorrow. Come on. It's got nothing to do with your performance whatsoever. And if you've never been baptized, you can still go to heaven just like the thief on the cross. Amen. Come on. But there's still something happens. And there's always power attached to everything that God asks you to do. And you understand, there's a certain power that you can apply. And there's a voice that there's something happens on the inside of you whenever you take a step of obedience. Another level of confidence in God is built into your life. It's happened supernaturally. You know God's a supernatural God.
Yes,
amen. So it's not empty ritual. It's not just something that's done because it's traditional to do it. But everything that God asks you to do will always have supernatural power attached to it.
That's right.
Amen. And you need to hear these words that are being spoken over you today and take hold of these words, because many things will come to try and displace the truth of these words from your life. But you can resist them simply by saying, I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm his beloved son.
That's good.
In fact, don't say I say I am your beloved son when you're speaking to him, and when you're talking to anybody else, say I am his beloved son. And I know that he's well pleased with me.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. I'm just going to read a few verses from the Message translation in Romans chapter 6. I'd like to read the whole chapter. I didn't intend doing that, but that would take a long time. It says in verse 1, so what do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? This is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind, and when we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. You notice it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that it says that when Moses led the people of God through the Red Sea, when God supernaturally opened up these waters so that they could come out of that place of bondage in Egypt and make that journey into the promised land, it says they were baptized in the sea. And when they came back out, they had an opportunity to enter into the fullness of everything that God had promised them. Amen. And the enemy was cut off. They stood on the shores and they looked back and they saw the waters close over the enemy that was pursuing them. You need to understand that. You need to see that today. That enemy that's pursuing you, that enemy that's coming with all of his voices, all of the accusation, all of the stuff, the condemnation that he's going to try and bring back into your life. You need to stand on the shore today and look back and say, and watch the waters, because I'll tell you, as soon as you come out of the waters close again. And everything that you wear is gone. And all the ammunition that you had against you, he's just lost it. It's gone.
That's good.
Amen. And the sad thing is that these people who came out of Egypt, they did not enter into the fullness of the opportunity that had been given them. And that whole first generation that came out died in the wilderness. So it's not just about a ritual. It's not just, oh well, I've been baptized now, praise God for that, I'll talk about it for the next 40 years. About this wonderful testimony, and my eyes will get all glassed over, and when I talk about it, no, it's about walking now into the fullness of what this means, that your old life is gone, that you have a brand new opportunity to live a brand new life. Amen. Because it goes on and it says, that's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. And when we are raised up out of the water, it is like, I like the language, you know what I'm saying? Because it's telling you the way it is. And when we are lifted, raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace-sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin miserable life. No longer at sin's every beck and call. When sin calls your name, there can be no answer anymore, because it's calling that old person that's gone, that old person that's dead. Amen. It doesn't matter how much of an alcoholic someone was, or how many cigarettes they smoked, or how many lines of cocaine they snorted every day. When they're dead, they're dead. The days of cocaine and smoking and alcohol are gone. They're over. Doesn't matter how many times they beat their wife doesn't get beaten anymore. Come on, doesn't matter. Come on. Doesn't matter how many times they abuse their children, they'll never abuse another child. Because they're dead and gone. That old man is gone. Doesn't matter how much they cursed, doesn't matter if every second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth word was a swear word. The days of swearing and cursing are over. I need to understand these days are gone. When sin calls your name, you can say, who's that? Don't know where.
That's good.
Hallelujah. Amen. And most people on the west side get buried in Dalmore, but we were buried in Dalbeg on the 4th of July 1988. Glory to God. The enemy calls my house. I don't know who you're talking about. Oh, that guy. Oh, he was buried in Dalbeg. 4th of July 1988. Hallelujah. You want to go and find him, you can go try and dig him up down there. Probably not much left of him by now. Crabs have eaten it all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin, miserable life. Isn't that good news? An end to that sin, a decisive end to that sin. Who remembers that miserable life? Who wants to remember it? I don't want to remember it. I'm not just too short into the good stuff, amen? And I like that with your testimony. You see, neither of you really went back into the past and dragged up the past and told us how wicked you were and how sinful you were, because it's not about that anymore. It's about where you're going from
That's
here.
Right.
Amen.
That's amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not saying there's not a time sometimes to share some of these things as the Spirit leads us, because sometimes some folks just need to get hold of that. But always give your testimony as the Holy Spirit leads you.
That's right.
And your Spirit was leading you this morning. People didn't need to hear all that stuff today. You know what I'm saying? Glory to God. Some people give all the bad stuff. I used to give an hour of bad stuff and then say, then I got born again and here I am, thank the Lord. Thank you very much. And people enjoyed it because they say, wow, would you hear that? Oh, boy, it should have been an X certificate. Come on, or an 18 they would call it now, wouldn't it? And lots of people who'd never done that, their flesh got titillated by my story. But you need to understand it's way beyond that. God's got so much for us in the future that there's not really much time to sit around and talk about
the
past.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. I love that. It was a signal of the end of death as the end. See, when you go out to the wars today, that's you dying, the only death you're ever going to do. That's the only dying you're ever going to do. Eternal life doesn't begin when you die and go to heaven. Eternal life begins the moment you're born again. Amen. And you now have a picture of that. And that was true already the day you got born again. That was true. But now you have a picture of that. You have something in your life that you say, because that's your burial and your resurrection. Glory to God. That's the end of death. That's the end. You've now been entered onto a life that will never end. Hallelujah. Maybe if you happen to put off your earth suit before Jesus comes, then, like the Bible says in Psalm 23, death is nothing more than a shadow for you. The shadow of death. You might experience the shadow of death, but all your dying days are over.
Mm-hmm.
All your death is over.
That's
all death is finished for you.
That's right,
finished. Amen. In Hebrews it says that Jesus came to set at liberty all of those who were in bondage to the fear of death. You see, the enemy only has a couple of weapons against you, and the main weapon is fear. The other weapon is that voice that he comes with. That he's very persuasive. He's been doing it for a long time. He knows the right words to push the right buttons and people to try and drag them back. And you can let him do that, or you can say, wait a minute, you've knocked on the wrong door, Jimmy. You don't live here anymore. That guy's gone. He's dead. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. End of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, your language now is a language of faith. It's what God says. That's what you live by from now on. That's the language you'll speak, and that's the language you'll hear. Anybody, doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter, even if they're a preacher or anybody else tries to tell you something that contradicts what God says in his word, you don't have to listen to it. Amen. It's a dead language to you anymore. You don't understand. Sorry, I don't understand that language. I only understand what my Father says. Amen. This word must always be the last word in our lives. Who knows what I'm talking about this morning? This word must always be the last word in our lives. I don't understand that language. I'm sorry, but I just heard what my Father said, and he just said, he's well pleased with me. Amen. Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, without faith, without hearing what God says and walking it, it's impossible to please God. Now you can turn that into a religious statement, a statement that causes you to strive to try and please God, or you can just recognize every time I hear what he says and believe it, it puts a big smile on his face.
Amen.
Amen. There's a special manifestation of his love for me. There's a declaration from heaven, well, that's my boy! That's my girl! That's mine! You know when you go to one of these school concerts or something, there's about 50 kids performing, but you're not looking at the other 49.
No.
Come on, they say, that's my boy, that's my girl up there, you see that? Whoa, you know, nobody else is looking at theirs, you know. Because everybody's having a performance solo, because most folks are only there for a solo performance, doesn't matter if it's... Come on. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Anyway, hallelujah, just a few more minutes and then we'll be done. Hallelujah. What language are you listening to? What voice are you going to listen to? See, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. He is a new creation. He has a brand new manifestation of life on the earth. It says, the old has gone. The NIV says it very succinctly. The old has gone and the new has come. So we don't have to listen to the old voices anymore. They're all cut off. Amen. All these things that said you're no good, or you'll never amount to anything, or come on, and you're just a loser, and you'll never succeed, and you may as well leave school now because you're just thick, and all these awful things that were spoken over us. Come on. Things even by our girlfriends or our boyfriends, you know, when things went sour and we heard words that they went into us like that, there were like just barbs that went into us and their inner soul, and they keep producing pain even from husbands or wives or all of these things. But we need to understand these voices are cut off.
Yeah.
They no longer have any power over us to affect us or to infect us. Amen. Why? Because the new has come. In Galatians 3:14 it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Every curse that was ever spoken over your life has been cut off. Amen. Glory to God. Everything that said you were no good is gone. These words no longer have any power or effect over your life. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us, amen, in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. So that by faith, by what? By faith. How does faith come? By simply hearing what our Father says over our lives. So that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is God in our lives, showing up in our lives to make sure that everything he says comes to pass. Amen? That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, so that Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. And it says in John 14, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He's come and he's dwelling within us, and he's there to make sure that we don't miss out on anything that God has promised us in our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who knows that Jesus entered this earth, he walked our... We were in a pretty negative journey that was just... We were born, and the only thing that we were certain of from the time we were born was that we were going to die. And some of us, we grew up in religious circles, knew that if we died without Christ, then we'd go to hell. It was a pretty miserable existence, really, to be honest. And especially if we grew up around these parts, we knew we needed to be saved, but we didn't really want to experience that right now. We always want to postpone it to a much later date, because as you'll still hear people saying there in the streets, I want to have a good time first. who believed that lie?
Yeah.
Come on. That the devil had a better time than God had for him. Some of us sadly believed that for too long. But anyway, but Jesus entered that negative plane that we were on, and he intersected that, and he confronted us when he went to the cross. And when the message of the cross is brought to us, then immediately confronted with the love of God. And the demonstration of the love of God is that all of our negatives have just been turned into positives. That's what the cross did. It took our negative and turned it into positive. God came down and intersected our negative journey, our horizontal journey. But when he came down, he vertically intersected that horizontal journey. And that's the cross. And when you come to him and meet him at the place of the cross, you discover that all of your negatives, say all, All of your negatives are turned into positives. Every single last one of them. Amen. Hallelujah. The blessing that was given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Look, let me just remind you what that was very quickly. Genesis chapter 12. What did the Lord say to Abraham? Because he's saying the same thing. See, who knows, when God says something, he says it. He's saying it, and he's still saying it, and he's still speaking it. What God said, that's, you say, well, how can that be? Well, it's the same as all of these words you heard all these years ago that have still had an impact and an effect on your life. If you're here today and you're born again and there's words that were spoken over you, as I said, regardless of who it was, sometimes even by love, by people who you thought loved you, and they said such awful things into your life, and I'm not saying they didn't love you, but at times, difficult times, stressful times, they spoke things into your life and they still come back to haunt you. That shows you that these words are still effective if you let them. And God's word, was God that designed things that way, so how much more effective is His word? What He said to Abraham, Jesus came to make sure that it reaches us, and so what He said to Abraham, He's still saying over us.
That's good.
He says, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I mean, that false humility that invaded the church, that says, oh, you can't say that, He'll make your name great. How does your name become great? Because as soon as you come into association with God, you receive greatness by association. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. If you're a child of God and He's awesome, then more are you? A pathetic
right.
little sinner? No, you're awesome.
That's right.
Come on. If God's awesome and you're His child, you're awesome.
My daddy, that's
amen.
My daddy.
I'm a Stuart. When my children were born, they were Stuarts. There was no way around it. They can go on and try and change their name if they like, but they'll still be Stuarts. On their birth certificate, it still says Stuart. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And if God is awesome, well, we were saying that our God is an awesome God. Well, I'm His kid. I must be awesome too.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good. That's
the truth.
Good word.
I will make your name great. Why? Because now you're attached to me, God would say. Now you have a covenant with me and you shall be a blessing. Hallelujah. Why? Because you're in association with the blesser. The one and only true blesser. The greatest blesser. Hallelujah. The King of blessers. Amen. So how can you, if He's a blesser, how much more are you going to be a blessing? Come on. Hallelujah. You can't be anything else but a blessing. Amen. So there's lots of voices that are out there, and I want to just cut off a few of these voices just as we wind up this morning. We don't have to listen to the voice of sin anymore. Why? Because Jesus became sin for us. This is all straight out of the Word of God, so that we only hear the voice that declares us righteous from now on. Amen. You don't have to listen to the voice of sin. I'm righteous. I'm not a sinner anymore. The days of being a sinner are over.
Amen.
That's what the Word of God declares over you. You're no longer a sinner. You're righteous now.
Right.
God became sin for you so that you could receive His righteousness. Don't listen to someone called sinner. Even if it's in church, if they start speaking about sinners, it doesn't apply to you anymore. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes you might wonder why you're there because you keep talking to the sinners all the time. Put your hand up and say, excuse me, when are we going to hear a message for the righteous? Maybe you could send me an email or something so I can come and hear. Come on. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on. The old voice of sin is gone. There's a voice declaring righteousness over you now. You don't have to listen to the voice of condemnation anymore. He took our condemnation. He took the punishment so that we listen now to the voice of salvation. Amen. Whenever you hear a voice that comes to condemn you, criticize you, pull you down, and judge you, say, I'm saved. I'm saved. An old chorus we used to sing years ago, just very simple, I'm saved, and I know that I am. We just kept singing that over and over again. Eventually, something that would go down there on the inside of you, you know what I'm saying? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just listen to that voice. I'm saved. I don't listen to the voice of condemnation anymore. There's therefore now no, N-O, none at all, not ever, condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Amen? Hallelujah. We don't have to listen to the voice of sickness anymore. Oh, this could get a wee bit of... Why? Because Jesus took our sickness so that we could hear the voice of healing. We could hear the voice of the Lord who declares over us, I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord. And you can listen to the voice of sickness if you like. You can receive the symptoms of sickness in your body if you like. You can say, well pain's a good thing because pain tells you that you're sick. Well, that's the voice of sickness. What are you going to do with it? I'm not saying pain might not show up. What are you going to do with pain? If that's the point of sickness telling you you're sick, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to listen to it? Are you going to fall down under it? Or are you going to say, I don't listen to that voice anymore. I listen to the voice of healing that supersedes the voice of sickness.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You begin to speak what God says over your life. You don't have to listen to the voice of oppression anymore. Why? Because he took our oppression so that we could hear the voice of deliverance and of freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom. We don't have to listen to the voice. Am I going too fast? We don't have to listen to the voice of poverty anymore. He became poor with our poverty so that we could become rich with his riches. That's what the Word of God says. That's not what somebody dreamt up somewhere. That's what the Word of God says. You can listen to that voice of poverty, or you can listen to the voice of prosperity, the voice of favor. Jesus said, I've come to announce the year of the Lord's favor.
Amen.
The day when the favor of God profusely abounds. Hallelujah, it says in the Amplified Bible. He's come to announce the time of blessing. We can listen to the voice of poverty, or we can listen to the voice of blessing. Say, I'm blessed.
Just
got no more. Say, I'm blessed. Say it. Come on, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed. How can I be poor? I'm blessed. I can't be poor. Come on. We don't have to listen to the voice of weakness anymore. He took our weakness so that we could listen to the voice of strength, so that we could listen to the voice of encouragement that comes to say, you can do all things. We don't have to listen to the voice of failure anymore. He took our failure into the grave. And he rose up with a guarantee of our success. Come on. I said, we don't have to listen to the voice of failure anymore. He took our failure into the grave. And he rose up triumphant over the grave. And he was holding success in his hand. He said it to Joshua way before that. He said, if you will just continue in my word, if you will make my word your meditation, then you will have good success. You will prosper and you will have good success. You know, success is good. Say success is good. Say success is good. Say I don't listen to the voice of failure anymore. Come on, there's many things that God has been stirring our hearts to do, and we've been afraid to do them because we thought, what if I fail? Failure's not part of our vocabulary.
He's the Lord of our failures.
I tell you, there's businesses, kingdom businesses that God has been trying to bring forth in people's lives in here this morning, and you've held back and you thought, I'll just go and work this job for a pittance of a wage, and I'll just get by, and I'll live and get by street for the rest of my life. And God's been stirring your heart to create a kingdom business.
Yeah, that's
thank
good
you,
so that you can be blessed and become a blessing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So you can begin to create jobs in the place. See, you're not under the language of recession anymore. You don't have to listen to the voice of the media that says all the jobs are up the creek or down the pipe or wherever they're going. You'll never get a job now, and then your pension will be worth nothing. You don't need a pension if you're blessed.
Yeah, that's good.
Come on. What do you want a pension for? You're not going to retire. You just refire every morning. Hallelujah. Give them the word and say, I'm blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Who wants a pension anyhow? Oh, gosh. So you're going, right? Well, let that stir your religion. Come on. Say, I'm blessed. You'll never need a pension. Don't have to listen to that voice of failure. Jesus rose from the grave with victory in his hand. Hallelujah. We don't have to listen to the voice of loneliness, the voice of isolation. Don't have to listen to these voices. Oh, these people doing that church don't like you. I think you should just stay at home today. Ever heard that voice? Come on. It's an old voice. It's been going for a long time. It's worked for a lot of people. That's why he keeps speaking the same word. Took our loneliness so that we could be surrounded by family with one voice. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. That'll cure everything. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Listen to the blessings in Deuteronomy 28. See, we don't have to read the curses anymore. Well, you can read them for information purposes, but they don't apply to you anymore because Jesus became the curse. The curse has been removed. So now we just apply ourselves to the blessings. We expect the blessings. Listen to this. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. I'm glad for that. I live in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. I'm not coming to the city. I'm blessed too. Glory to God. Amen. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground. See, my kids are blessed. Look at the state of that. She's blessed. The produce of your ground and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Well, just apply that in the modern context, because everything that you have is blessed. All of your possessions
Amen.
Are blessed. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Less shall be you be, but that's your food, that's your trolley in the supermarket. Glory to God. Amen. Walking out over your phone. Oh, I better go for them, some of them super saver things, you know what I mean? They might come on. Don't look at the price and just fill the trolley, you're blessed. We're wasting time, this is redeeming time. Don't waste time looking for all the bargains. You're blessed. God said it. If we can turn that around, if we can turn that mess around in our head, I tell you, we'll discover that God is true. There's a voice of truth.
That's good.
And we've been listening to the wrong voice, the voice of the lie. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command, listen, who's commanding this? The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You know what he said to Joshua? Everywhere you put the sole of your feet, I'm giving that to you. Everywhere I go, I've been in buildings all over this island. I've claimed them all for the kingdom of God. I'll tell you, some of them are now being used for the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
I'm not using them, but other people are using them for the kingdom of God. Because every time I set foot in a new building, I say, this is for the kingdom. This is for the kingdom. This is for the kingdom. Why? Because that's what he said. That's the voice of truth. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. Amen. When the Lord promises to do something, he could never fail to fulfill that name. It says, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. They shall stand in awe of you. They'll say, hey, they're awesome. You know why that is? Because of their awesome God. Because our Father's awesome. We are awesome. Some of you were looking at me strange when I said that before, but here's the scripture for you. They'll stand in awe of you. They'll say, how come this flu epidemic never took you out? Because it can. What do you mean it can? Because he's the Lord who heals all my diseases.
That's right. That's
my daddy
right.
said I'd never have to get sick again, so I'm not going to get sick.
Thank you, Lord.
I still get sick when I don't have to.
That's the truth.
It works. I haven't had flu for 20 years. I used to get it twice at the start of the season, at the end of the season, and maybe once in between. And I won't be getting it either this year either. No one's going to get bird flu or swine flu or any other kind of flu. One flew over the cuckoo's nest, one having that one either. Amen. Hallelujah. Let it fly, I see. it flew past me. Because that's what it says in Psalm 91, even though 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, it will not come near you. Why? Because you know who your daddy is and you know where you live. And under the shadow of the Almighty, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and he is my fortress, he is my God, and in him I will trust.
Amen.
He declared over me, he's declared, and he cannot break that. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
God's not a man that he should lie.
That's right.
Hallelujah. What a massacre. And it, oh, excuse me, that was a bit of tongues. Anyway, the Lord. The Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your grain. Hallelujah. Is that good news or is that good news? Plenty. You'll always have plenty. More than enough. Always more than enough. God's not tight. He won't get it just right. Amen. You'll always have more than enough. Hallelujah. In the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Amen. See, this is the problem, folks. Some folks say, well, our fathers believed this, so we're just going to stay here. That is not good thinking. You see, he's saying here, God swore to your fathers. They didn't enter into it. So are you going to stay where they stuck? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to take hold of what God said to your fathers? Mm-hmm. I've got it written up on my office wall. Now, God spoke this to me several years ago. He said, I have been delivering you from the religion of your forefathers while introducing you to the God of your forefathers.
That's good.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's good.
Same God,
right.
But a different level of experience if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
He said he swore it to your fathers. The fact that they never entered into it, is that going to stop you? Are you going to just keep the tradition going?
No.
To live under the power of that tradition, what Jesus said is the only thing that can make the word of God ineffective in your life? Or are you going to say, God swore to us at last, I'm going for that.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because that's the only place you'll experience the fullness of the blessedness when you step into the land that the Lord swore to your father. He swore it to them. For some reason, it's not for us to wonder why. Thank God they're in the glory today and they're experiencing things. And I'll tell you, there's some of these great theologians are looking over the battlements of glory tonight, this morning, and they're saying, I was wrong. Don't believe what I wrote.
Yeah.
John Calvin's up there going, I was wrong about that stuff. Just don't, just get rid of my institutes and get back to the Word of God.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's good.
I believe that with all my heart. Hallelujah. Come on. All the limits are off. He said, don't believe that rubbish. I was wrong. Most awesome thing in the world is to acknowledge you were wrong.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. If you will never acknowledge you're wrong, you'll struggle to walk as the righteous.
That's a good word.
The righteousness that you already are.
Thank you, Lord, for your righteousness.
Okay, okay. The Lord will open to you his good treasure. Oh boy. The heavens to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. Don't be afraid to reach out your hand and do something you've never done before, because the Lord will bless that. The Lord will bless that. I'd like to preach off that for an hour, but we'll need to move on. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. That's you shall be above only, mm-hmm. and not beneath.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Whose voice are you listening to? It says in Genesis 22, verses 17 to 18, God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you because you have obeyed my voice, the voice of truth. Matthew 17, verse 5, God spoke again from heaven. Remember when Jesus took Peter, James and John up the mountain to reveal to them the source of his strength and his power? The fact that he just went up there and plugged in every day, first thing in the morning. Sometimes he stayed out all night. He just spent time in the presence of his Father, and he came back down charged up. Charged up with enough power and authority to heal the sick and to cast out demons and to preach the kingdom of God in all of its fullness every day. And then it says that at a certain point, as they were about to come down, just before they came down from the mountain, again, God spoke. He said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, in former times God spoke to us through the prophets, but now he is speaking to us through his Son. Jesus is the voice of truth. If Jesus ever bless someone, then he's going to bring the same blessing to you. And he blessed people all the way through the Gospels. In fact, John actually says, I mean, you know, some people think they talk about the miracles of Jesus. Some study Bibles list the miracles of Jesus as if they were like an exhaustive list. I mean, how crazy can you get? But John says, he said, if everything that he said and did was to be written down, the whole world wouldn't be big enough to contain all the books that would have to be written. That's just a few little examples. In fact, he says, these are written so that you may have enough to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that you may have life in his name. So you may understand that what he did is what he's doing. What he said is what he's still saying. So you can walk in the fullness of that. And that's the voice of truth. So you need to take the voice of truth. And Isaiah, and I'm doing this really fast and we're really done. Isaiah 54:17 says this, no weapon, say no weapon.
No weapon.
No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You will silence every voice that is raised up to accuse you. Come on. You will silence every voice that is raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. What do we need to understand this morning? We need to understand this. It's time to tune out every other voice. Every other voice. Doesn't matter who it's coming from. Sometimes it comes through people, as I said, who we've known for years, and yet it doesn't correspond. It doesn't line up with the voice of truth. So therefore, let's tune it out. Amen? I tune it out, and I tune in to the voice of truth. Because the voice of truth, as we were speaking about this on Friday night, I think it was Friday, maybe Wednesday. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I think it was Friday. See, Jesus said, I am the way. And we all want to experience that life, but you see, you cannot get to the life if you bypass the truth. You have to pass through the truth in order to get to the life, to experience the life. So he says, yes, I am the way. And we'd like to just say, oh yes, Jesus is the way. Oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But then we wonder why we're not living the life. Because the only way to access the life is to pass through truth. If you try and ignore truth, if you try and close down truth, if you try and shut down the voice of truth, you'll never walk in the fullness of the life. Some of us, that's why we're not there. In case you wondered why you're not there, that's because you've listened to the lies rather than tuning out all of the lies and just focusing in and tuning into the voice of truth. Amen. You ever been on two radio stations at the one time? You know, you're trying to get on the Isles FM and some other, and the Gaelic, because they're so close, it's like Gaelic, Radio Scotland, Gaelic, you know, and you're thinking, wow, because some of you go, I don't understand that language, and then you get on the Isles FM, and if you're lucky, it's English they're speaking. Amen, but you're in between the two, it's like, and it's impossible to hear what either is saying. And that's confusion that's called. Bible says double-mindedness, that listening to, trying to listen to two voices at the same time creates a double-mindedness within you, that creates an instability within you that says you cannot access anything that God has in that position and in that place according to the epistle of Jesus. Let's stand up together. Are you ready this morning to zone out, to tune out the voice of the lies?
Yes.
To tune into the voice of truth. What does the Father say this morning? He says, you are my, you need to hear this, whether you're a male or a female. He's saying, you are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. With you I am well pleased. That's the voice of truth. That's the voice of truth. God only has good things for you. God will never come and put anything of the curse on you because Jesus took the curse away from you. No manifestation of the curse in your life is from God. Hallelujah. Good God, evil devil. Nice and easy. Let's keep it simple. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your covenant people here this morning. I thank you, Lord, again for Ian and for Peter as they take the step of obedience. I thank you that your voice is booming from the heavens this morning. Thank you, Lord, there's a party, a celebration already in heaven because of these steps of obedience, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you're always rejoicing over your people. You dance with singing and rejoicing over your people. You're saying, that's my boy, that's my girl, that's my kids down there. They're awesome. Hallelujah. How can we be anything else but awesome? We have such an awesome Father. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just, if you don't have to this morning, but if you'd like to, let's just pray this simple prayer together. Father.
Father.
My Father.
My Father.
My Daddy.
My Daddy.
I thank you.
Thank you.
For the voice of truth.
For the voice of truth.
I thank you. You always speak truth.
I thank you.
Over my life.
Over my life.
Just in case I can't hear it clearly.
Jesus.
You recorded it.
You
wrote it down.
I
can go and consult it. To know that it is the voice of truth. So I reject every lie. And I zone out. And I tune out. The voice of the lies. And I tune in. To your voice.
Your voice.
The voice of truth.
The voice of truth.
And I receive your life.
I receive your life.
I receive your favor.
I receive your favor.
I receive your blessing.
I receive your blessing.
And I fill up with it.
I fill up with it.
And I'm overflowing it.
I'm overflowing it.
I'm going to be a blessing.
I'm going to be a blessing.
To all that I meet.
All that I meet.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.